Before we go into the text, we will take a look at what situation Jesus speaks these words. John was put into prison because of his faith and of his preaching. And as you remember, his disciples came there from the prison to Jesus to ask, "Are you the one who is coming, or do we need to wait for another one?" When these disciples of John had returned to John, Jesus speaks of John then and says that he was an angel of God. Angel means messenger, God's messenger, God's horn in this world. And Jesus gives of a declaration of John that he was the greatest of ones born of women, but continues that even the least one in the kingdom of God is greater than him. Nevertheless, these words tell us that Jesus gave a good testimony of John. He was Elijah, whom the prophets have foretold, who will prepare a way in people's hearts for Jesus. And now Jesus says of all this, that regardless of all this, the people will regard him to be that somebody who doesn't eat or drink and who is in whom there's an evil spirit. And John in his message people did not receive him. People said of Jesus that he is eater and drinker, the friend of publicans and sinners. Jesus was not received by the people of that time either. After that, Jesus begins to speak of his deeds. People spoke of them as miraculous works, and Jesus spoke of them as signs. And that means that if people who would know and learned the scriptures, that they would be able to recognize that Jesus is one sent by God, the Messiah. Prophets had foretold that when Jesus comes, the blind shall receive their sight, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk, and the gospel is preached to the poor. And this happened. Jesus here had said that and spoke of certain cities, how great deeds had been done. He says that, "Oh, you Chorazin, Bethsaida, if those works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they had repented in ash and sacks long time ago." And then he speaks of Capernaum, his own home city, that such great deeds by Jesus were done there, that according to those deeds and signs, it was as if lifted to heaven. Somebody has said that at least three signs or miraculous deeds Jesus had done in Capernaum. And he said if these deeds had been done in Sodom, Sodom city would still be standing today. And then he continues, "Therefore, Sodom will have it easier during the day of judgment than for the city of Capernaum." This is the background now to our text. And it says that at that time, so after this, Jesus looks at the people around him, the disciples. Of course, the closest ones to him were the 12 disciples, and there were others also who believed in him, and says that, as Matthew here relates, at that time Jesus declared, or broke into speaking in Finnish language, it tells to me that he was so full that he could not hold it in his heart and inside him, but it bubbled out of his mouth. And Luke also wrote of it that he rejoiced in spirit. And of what did he rejoice and thank? He thanked Heavenly Father as he looked around at his disciples, that to them God had given the gift of faith. Gospel was received by these people. And that sight got Jesus moved. He was human just like us, even though he was God also. He was filled with joy, and in such joy and happiness that he could not hold it in, but it bursted out from his mouth. And when we read this portion of the Bible, one thought came to mind from the Kauhava summer services. You remember Saturday evening, we were having communion. Communion had been served for a few hours, and then the cantors had taken the hymn 618 to be sung. Then you probably remember "Joy in Heaven, Joy," and we have those words in that hymn that are strong words and speak to us. Joy in heaven, joy, everlasting joy. Their saints are free. Saints are free from sin. From that unnumbered throng goes forth the rising sun. O Lord of hosts, amen. Maybe some of you have been in the tent when this has been sung. It is powerful song, so that it feels like this tent is raised up higher. But not only powerful singing, but that atmosphere that it creates when it bubbles out of believing people's hearts. They join, when their hearts join into the verse of the song. It is so powerful that it awakens in a listener strong feelings. This song was started at services, and suddenly we could hear at the communion table, "Lord Jesus be thanked." This cry was heard loud. I think that a believing person kneeling to the communion table, affected by this song, received such joy in his or her heart that they could not keep inside anymore. And of course, when bread and wine is given, we always say that this is Christ's body given for you, blood of Christ shed for you. And then mutually at the end, when everyone is released, the blood and Christ of Jesus for you, may this so the song and these words spoke a person that for me, given for me, set for me. For me, Jesus gave his life and told us to have this meal to remember him and his deed. Tonight we are going to join here to experience communion. I think that oftentimes when we have this kind of a great occasion of communion, that it goes without us even thinking, why do we come to the communion table? Why do we come to this meal? There needs to be a little bit of a time for us when we can pause and think that the Son of God gave his life and shed his life for me. And those words which John writes in his letter, look at what kind of love God has shown unto us, that we shall be called children of God. which we are indeed. Somehow this occasion in Kauhava came to mind, because there's something same there here also, when Jesus was moved and was filled with joy and thankfulness to God of what God had done to these disciples. There are some older people here at the tent and in places of dwelling and around by internet. You remember how back in the day quite often there were those what we called voices of thanks or voices of being moved. I think that back in the day there were only few times in a year services, and when one would finally get to services and when God was able to open the word and speak to my heart, when from the midst of the sorrows and temptations and distress we would come to meet the people of God, that word warmed hearts in such a way that it bursted out with these voices of thanks. Now we have so many services that we don't even have time to listen to them all. God has arranged in this time and seen it necessary that more and more He wants to feed us in the middle of our temptations and distress amidst with which we live. So here Jesus thanks God for what He did for the disciples. He gave them the gift of faith. He then defines what kind are the people. They are childlike. Another gospel says that they are small ones. And with these words, Jesus speaks of the heart, a poor heart, such heart that lacks one's own deeds to be shown to God, but only sinfulness. And in that poor heart can fit the gospel of the poor, which promises all sins forgiven. It has been spoken here about the childlike and about the children who are the key dwellers of the kingdom of God. The children have strong faith. Children are an example for us in believing. A childlike heart is such a heart that is poor and wants to be close to Jesus Christ and to be empowered by His strength, and want to stay traveling in a portion of a child of God. We want to ask that God would preserve us with a childlike mind when we can trust in that which God gives through His word. The word of God is not respected everywhere at our time, but the Bible says that not even an iota is removed from it, because it's an unyielding word, and it's important for us to trust in the word so that we then travel in those footsteps which God has provided as the way to the land of glory. Now it is special here when Jesus here praises Father, the Lord of heaven and earth, that He has revealed His kingdom and His gospel to the childlike. But before that, He says that He has hidden these from the wise and understanding. What do you think of these words of Jesus?
Pitääkö Jeesus näillä sanoilla
does Jesus with these words, when you he says that he has hidden these things from the wise and understanding, does he regard wisdom and learning as some kind of a bad thing or something of low value? We know what Luther explains about the creation of God. God has created me and all creatures, given me ears, eyes, the sense, and all senses, and maintains them all. God has given us that skill of sense and ability to deduct and solve problems, planning skills. If we think of these services, a lot of wisdom and understanding and sense and experience has been needed so that these surroundings have been able to create to be of as they are. And now when most of the service guests are at the tents and dwelling places, they can yet hear every word. It was not possible before. People around the world are able to listen and be here at services through technology. Great wisdom has been given to people that they can use this technology and use it in such a way that it also serves the work of his kingdom, as we have heard often how miraculous it is, how the gospel of the kingdom is heard around all the world, and there are those who repent in Africa, in Asia, and around the world because of the technology that allows the message to be spread. There's a great wisdom in that. Jesus does not look down on that. And even this school, Ranua Opisto, is for that reason, and all opistos, so that the food for life and skills, learning, education is given for life. It's a great thing that it can be in so that in a secure surrounding one can study, and in addition to the temporal skills, one gets nourishment for one's faith. And so this entire being, entire human, not only regarding to the outward life, but regarding the life as a child of God, is being nourished. And that is a great thing. Here Jesus means that no matter how much wisdom and understanding and sense a human would have, by pondering and wondering and thinking, one will not find the kingdom of God. When you listen to the previous sermon, it was also referred to this, how human sense is and human wisdom is like a drop compared to the wisdom of God. As far as the heaven is from earth, so far are God's thoughts from human's thoughts, and God's ways of man's ways. How many of you can say, how far is the heaven from earth? It's far, so far that man cannot even measure it. So far higher are God's thoughts than that of man's, those of man's. And that's why Jesus says here that it is hidden from human wisdom and sense. And you remember how it was said before in olden times that one's ration is to be put below the obedience of faith. By using your ration, it could happen so that your mind takes over and goes over faith, and one gets lost from this way guided by God. Here in our text, Jesus says that God has seen it good that he has revealed his will and the kingdom. It is thus a matter revealed proclaimed by God. But God reveals himself in many ways, in nature, in the fates of life, fates of nations. As an almighty God, he takes care of his creation and leads it according to his will. He is almighty, and he is wise. And even this matter of faith, God has seen good to arrange in such a way that despite the man's own ration and wisdom, it opens that God opens one's heart to receive the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. Here it again says in our text that all things have been handed over to by my Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. The old ones said that before the creation, Father and Son held a meeting, and they agreed that Father will create and the Son will redeem. There once was a day for the elderly people in Siikajoki, and a person came to ask me that, show me where in the Bible can you find such a portion. The speakers always that say that there has been such a meeting. I said that I will ask those who know the Bible better, and I ask around, and I received an answer where they said that you cannot find it exactly in those words, but the thought is sown in the Bible that God created and the Son would atone. Jesus was with Father before the world was created, and he knew his Father precisely, and as sent by his Father, he came to this world for us. God thus became human in Jesus, and Jesus walked here a human's walk, and had the same joys and distresses as that are familiar to us as well. As we have heard in services many times, Jesus was tempted in everything like every one of us, nevertheless without sin. And thus Jesus is able to help us, because he knows what kind of distress and joy we have to experience here. And now the Son, human, can only come if Father pulls him. No one can come to Son unless Father pulls him. Yesterday also, maybe it was during the evening services, where there was an example story of people whose close one had repented, and the atmosphere, maybe it was Olli Lohi who spoke about this, and the atmosphere was such that maybe the other ones who are here could also repent, and the gospel was offered to them, that now you would have an opportunity to believe and receive all your sins forgiven. And then the response was not like negative, but it was like, not yet. It's not time yet. Let us put it to tomorrow. There was such a thought that it would be as if in the hand of man. I also have an example that once a person who had been believing before and had then lost his gift of faith, he was laying on a sick bed, and he was offered that, wouldn't it be time now to repent? There might not be much journey left for you. And he thought about that and said, not yet. And I asked that, what is holding you back from repenting? Because it feels like you have a need for it, but it's just not the right time. And he said that friends are holding him back. He was afraid that if he repents, he is going to lose his friends. You remember what Jesus said, that who follows him and repents receives 100-fold of brothers and sisters, and on top of that, everlasting life. That was Jesus's promise. In that case though, not yet. 2 days passed by and I received a message that the life had ended. There's nothing to do anymore. We have heard here already that God only has today. And so if there's one hearing now who has misguided by the enemy lust your faith, today is the day of grace. That kingdom, which is the kingdom of grace here on earth, is present. And from there, the word of grace is proclaimed without asking what you have done. You have a permission to believe in Jesus' name and atoning blood, all sins forgiven, all sins at one time, and be able to come back to the place of a child of God and receive to your heart security and peace which lasts even then when the last moment will come. Now, when Jesus has revealed his Father, and there are two points. God is a righteous God who hates sin, but at the same time, he is a loving Father who loves the sinner. God's characteristics have not changed over time. Even today, God hates sin. Not a sinful person, but sin. If person lives in sin and walks in unbelief, he himself pulls upon himself God's wrath. And God would not want this, but would like to pardon and forgive. According to my mind, our time is guided by this general thought in the spiritual world that God is love, and it is understood in a way that all people will make it to heaven. We think the same, that hopefully all would make it to heaven, and even God thinks this, and that's why he calls people to own Jesus Christ's atonement work by faith, which is security in this time and also thinking of eternity. So, dear brothers and sisters, my Father has given everything to me into my possession, and he pardons us and wants to walk by us here and take us one day to destination in heaven's home. Here at the end portion of the text, it says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden." Last night it was the prayers of intercession were read here, and when I listened to those prayers, I thought that even believers have many sorrows, many burdens, many worries. We heard of the pain that comes from sickness, pain through human relationships, pain to be close to close dear ones who have denied their faith and are not believing. Also, burdens related to the temporal life regarding to making one's living in this time. Many kinds of burdens. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Another translation says that that I want to refresh you. To me, it seems very fitting because our life continues. We have worries, but Jesus wants to refresh so that we can continue on. He gives us a sight that I can move forward and God will take care of me. Now, I would have something to say to, especially for the confirmation students who are students of this year, very important matter, and to their parents, and also to those who still have confirmation camps later this year. It relates to that, that when confirmation school ends, one is given a diploma, and of course there's a name, and the confirmation, the name of the confirmant, the name of the church and the date, and then the names of the personnel. But the first page of that diploma is a painting. And that painting can be found at Puolanka church altar, a famous painter Paavo Tolonen of Pudasjärvi has painted it. He also has made it to the rest of the righteous. In one interview, he himself told what caused or what affected in the creation process for this painting. He had experienced deep sorrow. He had a small son who had just learned to walk. And there in the home yard there was a small pool of water, and the little son drowned in that little pool of water. And it was such a strike and hard thing to handle for the whole family, but especially the father, that he had to process in his mind that yearning and sorrow. And he was doing that by painting this painting. And I think that whoever has this diploma there at home, pause for a moment by this painting. There is a great, lots of message. The title of the painting is Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In the painting, Jesus is in a white robe in the middle of the middle, and from Jesus on the right, upper right, there's the throng of those with white robes, and among the throng of people with white robes, Paavo has painted Teemu's son as this little son also, yet as a little bit bigger than in reality. I thought that when this father painted the son there, he painted him for the reason because it comforted his heart when he was able to think that once there will be the day when I can meet Teemu's son again in the throng of those with white robes who are praising God. One person close to me, I heard, a spouse died, and I asked, how have you managed? He said that day at a time, and at time, sometime there are moments when I have feeling that I cannot continue because memories so vividly come to mind and I miss the spouse so much. But then he continued that in these moments all else has lost their significance. There is only one thing remaining that has a meaning, that I have a gift of faith. I myself and the one who departed already. This is the only thing that carries, that I have this, that there is once the time of seeing again. Think of this. We do not always pass there in everyday life during that. What great power there is with the gift of faith in this time, being a citizen of the kingdom of God, let alone that there is such an end to the journey. Now this sun is there as painted by Paavo, and it carried him. Now they both are waiting there in the rest of righteousness and waiting for the day of resurrection. And then there is also a person with the backpack. I have said that this is a logging man. Back in the day, man would have for a week or two a big backpack behind one's back. And now in this painting, this man with the backpack comes to Jesus and looks at Jesus. His bodily and mental strength has been drained. Certainly it was not so easy even from the point of view of faith there in a logging camp for weeks. Maybe even faith was tried. And he comes to Jesus so that Jesus could strengthen him with the word of comfort. And then close to Jesus there is an elderly person in one's knees. It's almost like an elderly person with his or her last strength. And Jesus puts his hands over the elderly person. I say in our language that Jesus blesses the elderly one so that the elderly one would have the strength to continue following him, believing one's own sins forgiven, and look at the destination with bright thoughts. And on the left side of Jesus, there is a young man, maybe a 20-year-old or so, and he has as if has joined Jesus' company but looks into the world away, and the temptations are great, and one man is thinking, am I going to follow Jesus or follow those temptations that the world gives temporarily? I dare to think that even today, maybe there are many young ones, maybe older ones, who are in the same situation. Where will I go? Which way to go? In this time, the temporal values have become as the most important ones. And the pull of the enemy can be too strong. It does not pay to go on that road. You young ones who are listening this, that road, way that is blessed by Jesus gives you blessings for this life and the life to come. We have heard of Joseph that he was put in jail without reason, and it says that Jesus was a happy man because the Lord was with him. And then there in the picture there's a man with a briefcase in his arms, who is in a rush and has turned his back to Jesus. He has important matters in front of him. The plans are clear and he has to go for them. But in that picture, but he's stepping on the nothing. unto nothing. Everything vanishes there. What a great accident. Then one more thing. At the bottom of the painting there are two little boys, and it's fine sand there, and little kids like to play in sand. Many families have this kind of a sandbox, and the kids take the sand and raise it up and let the sand fall down between the fingers. And they raise the sand again and follow as the sand falls down. What does it depict to you? Even during this sermon of mine, many seconds, many minutes of all of our life has shortened. It speaks of this, that the life is short. We were listening, we were talking there in the back bench how fast time goes by. We don't even recognize how fast time goes. We are almost at the destination, but what a grace of grace there is in this, that Jesus calls, come to me, I will give you rest. I want to refresh you, and I will also give you rest here, but also at the end of this time. Come to me. Dear brothers and sisters, now also you have a permission to believe in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood, sins, doubts, temptations forgiven, unto peace, freedom, and joy. I would wish that if you do not remember anything else from this sermon, you would remember Jesus said, come to me, said Jesus, come to me. Tempted I came here, and I would ask that, can I have a permission yet to believe my sins forgiven? I want to believe together with you in Jesus' name. Amen.